Lisa Brooks. All right, got a lot of news to get to. Hopefully Tom's in a good mood. Tom in a good mood. Have you seen him yet, Jacob?
Yeah.
Is he ever not in a good mood?
Right.
Hey, Tommy, how are you?
Don't talk to me. I'm in a bad mood.
Not the way to start off a talk show. Don't talk to me. Oh, my God. Okay.
Is it noon yet?
Oh, my God. Wow, he is really surly. What time is it, Andrew?
Time for you to apologize.
I'd like to apologize for anything Tom might say today. Let's face it, there's more people that like me and hate you if they listen to this show.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Because Seattle is a small market. But outside, you get your Pierce, you got your Therese, you got your Macy. You got your counties where people believe in freedom and bigger fans. So I'd like to apologize for anything Tom might say.
Luckily, they're on the eastern side of the state in Liberty.
Okay, we're going to go back. It didn't pass. Nobody moved info on it. Okay, let's just move on.
51st state.
All right, talk about a small group of people with crazy ideas. They were protesting yesterday. Hundreds of them gathered, local protest, of course, because they have nothing else to do. And let's see. Where is it? Oh, here we are. Is this the protest that happened in, is this in Olympia? This is in Olympia. By the way, did you know the sale of glue has gone up 27%, markers have gone up 24%, poster board 33%, and posters 45% since the election of Donald Trump? People love to march around with signs they've made. And it would have been much better if that had played as soon as I had said that.
Hey, wow.
I blame you, Andrew. What time is it now?
Time for me to apologize.
Yeah. Poster sales have gone up.
No way. The emergency is wrong.
The word of the night.
No to a fake national emergency.
One the president himself likes to throw around. A President's Day protest against President Trump's national emergency declaration to fund the border wall.
We know that there is no national emergency. There is only a political emergency.
Governor Jay Inslee there calling gun violence and climate change real emergencies. Those messages projected on a nearby building. Mr. Trump has called the situation at the southern border a security and humanitarian crisis.
We on the Armed Services Committee are fighting against it.
U.S. Representative Adam Smith said the wall has nothing to do with the security of the U.S.
The only way it's possibly legal is if they take the money to actually defend members of the U.S. Armed Services who are performing a mission.
Dozens of people listened.
Somebody is hurting my people.
Even saying, signs held high, a person dressed as the president in a jail jumpsuit.
I'm feeling alarmed, but not scared.
On Monday, 16 states sued the Trump administration over the president's emergency declaration, calling the move unlawful and unconstitutional. Washington State, not one of them.
I think it's less likely we join another state and potentially file our own lawsuit.
Attorney General Bob Ferguson.
That's right, because you get more attention that way.
And told Cairo 7 his legal team worked all weekend on a potential case, but is still watching what happens next.
Once we see if he's taking money for a Washington State project to fund that wall, then we'd have a reason to go forward.
You got to have standing. Yeah. Like Ohio was able to show they had standing because it would affect tourists coming to Hawaii if you put the Muslim ban in place. That was one of the things they had in there. And that gave them standing because it would show damages. You got to show damages.
Yeah, you have to establish damages. Yeah. And I think that that's interesting that Oregon, for instance, figures they've got a way to establish damages. But Washington State, which is quick to sue the president, is being a little more cautious.
Did you know Oregon signed up to sue the Obama administration in 2010?
No.
Yeah. Part of it was joined Washington and North Dakota and West Virginia. It was one of the 20 states that sued on the Obamacare being unconstitutional. Oregon was in on that. Isn't that crazy?
Did they have a Republican governor or something?
I don't know. Maybe they saw that it was unconstitutional. That's good for Oregon. How about that?
It's amazing. I'll have to check into we may have to strip Oregon of its progressive reputation.
Right, because it's done so well. California Attorney General.
You got your facts right.
Oh, my God. Here. Talk for a minute.
I said assuming.
No. Hang on. Double checky check. Oregon.
Oh, no. It was Ohio, right? Another O state.
Right there.
Yeah, I need a microscope.
Here, you look at it. Look at that right there.
So, anyway, moving on.
Moving on. Yes? See it? Come on.
I do.
You're killing me. All right, moving on. All right. The thing's going to go to the Supreme Court. Everybody wants a challenge, but people do this because they get a chance to protest and they tell our bunch, they hate Trump. And Ferguson can then say, hey, we're going to sue on our own. And oh, by the way, here's an email. Please send me $30. So 16 states.
But he
sue.
Hasn't yet. See,
not yet. No, he's going to do it on his own. He'll do it on his own.
Holding back. You should give him some credit. Yeah. You're always criticizing him for being the first one to jump in the pool.
No, Tom, he
now he's actually waiting to see if the pool is poisoned.
You don't want to be one of 16. You want to be on your own.
He's been one of 16 in the past.
I know. He likes to come out quick. Hawaii, he came out with,
so
and Washington jump on. Yeah.
That he's showing a little reticence.
Because they got to get their campaign email together. Inslee explained why they aren't part of it. Do you care? Yes or no? 17 seconds. It's the governor. So
yeah,
be president.
Okay, let's
We do not know what those things are yet and will not until there are some...
Okay, got it.
All right. That is the point. So the next argument about the 16, the cases, we already talked in general about whether it's really a national emergency or not. No president has done this in case of a national emergency if the Congress had objected to spending money on it. So there are some first-time things, but the general law that allowed for a national emergency to be declared, it was so general that one could argue that it could be anything. Then the question is, okay, so what if a president decided the national emergency dictates such that we're taking our entire Pentagon budget and applying it to this or that? That would be a case ad absurdum.
Yes.
And at that point, then you say, well, no, there must be some restrictions on that. I don't know how that'll go. The interesting case in the New York Times mentions, however, it might be decided on much more puny kinds of issues. For instance, they talk about the Secretary of Defense authority to transfer Pentagon money from the anti-drug account says its authority may be used in no case where the item for which funds are requested has been denied by the Congress. Well, in effect, you could argue that that money has been denied by Congress because he asked for 5.7 and he got 1.3.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might actually be decided on a real technicality rather than a big social issue.
Poorly written laws, and then it goes to the Supreme Court and they have to try to figure out what they meant by that word, right? When they ever leave discretion, I don't know if you know this or not, but I served as a city council. And whenever we would leave it to the discretion of the city manager, used to say, please don't do that. Please. I want to know, is it 30 feet or is it 40 feet? Mm-hmm. Don't put discretion in there. Because when you have discretion in there, then now all of a sudden it becomes up for debate. So the idea that the president has the ability to call a national emergency if it meets these criteria, but unfortunately the criteria are not specific enough. So
that's exactly right.
You
have to argue it on a philosophical issue. Does that mean he can do anything? Can he declare any kind of national emergency? And if not, then you have to come up with the solution. But it might be decided on a much more technical kind of language issue more than anything
else. I hope he gets shut down and shut down hard on this, because the next president, if it turns out to be a Democrat, which looks like it might be, then you could have somebody say, someone like Cortez say that, hey, the world is going to end in 12
Cortez
years.
Cortez is not going to be the next Democrat.
No, but certainly if she have enough power, and you get somebody like Bernie Sanders in there, and if he also goes with climate change is going to end us in 12 years,
That'd
that's a national emergency. That'd we're going to stop producing coal, and nobody can drive their car, right?
That would almost might be worth building the wall if we could guarantee climate change incorporated into real policy.
You got to believe it would have that much of an adverse effect, and that science and the free market wouldn't find solutions for it, that government is the answer. That's the big argument. So Tacoma schools could cut programs. Now, didn't they get like a 21% increase or something like that? They asked for, I think they said, we'll give you seven. No, we don't want that. We'll give you 20, but we'll give you 20 over 2 years. They said, no, we don't want that. I think they got about a 21% increase, right? Overall.
So, yes. So Tacoma, if you remember back when the McCleary position came down and basically the basic education was established, but you couldn't do levies in addition to that.
Yeah.
A lot of school districts had different versions of different angles on money, and Tacoma was one of those that said, "No, we can't. If we did what Edmonds did, for instance, I think Edmonds got a huge jump. We would have to go into a hole because of the way our financing works." And they insisted, they went on strike, and they ended up getting it, or they threatened to strike, and they ended up getting it. And they said, "Yeah, but now we're going to be in a shortfall."
Yeah.
The answer, the teacher's answer at the time was, "Yeah, but that'll be fixed in the next legislative session.
Uh-huh.
That's not going to be a problem if the legislatures decide to okay, you can also then have a levy on top of what state funding is."
But in the meantime,
solve that.
Cairo 7's Kevin McCarthy says,
when striking Tacoma teachers got the pay raises they demanded, district officials predicted those larger paychecks would create a massive budget shortfall.
Sure. Well, we're facing about a $30 million loss in revenue next school year, and that's going to mean some serious cutbacks in the school district.
Now, the district is forming a budget advisory committee to get public input about what changes should be made to drastically reduce the budget.
Oh, now they want the public involved.
Invitations went out on Twitter today asking residents to apply for the committee. School spokesman Dan Volpel says the input is vital in helping the district pick what could be painful cuts to balance the budget.
Right now we're looking at everything, staff cutbacks, programs, initiatives, all the good things we're doing to help kids.
Correct. I think the district is operating right now under worst case scenario planning, which I understand they need to do.
Teachers Union President Angel Morton says she's optimistic the shortfall won't be anywhere near $30 million. After teachers across the state walked off the job last year, legislators began calling for a change to the state's levy cap that limits how much districts can ask from local voters after the McCleary ruling that transferred school funding to state control. Morton says she believes the pressure to change current laws will open up the purse strings and fill the gap.
But in all my conversations with legislators, they've indicated they're working to get a levy fix so that school districts across the state will not be harmed by this budget shortfall.
So the
I wouldn't have said so much if I realized we had the entire report.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's why I cut you off.
Good.
Bethel, Peninsula, Sumner, Tacoma. Let's say Tacoma School District. Superintendent there makes $347,000. The average staff pay and benefits in 2017-2018 was $96,605. Now, in the new budget for 2018-2019, they get $111,228. The average household will pay $330 additional dollars for the average single-family home now, new taxes, in order to support teachers that are making $112,000.
They are not. I'm pretty sure those are bogus numbers. Though you're probably including all the health insurance and all that kind of stuff, the benefits that go in there. That's not how
right. Those are the things that are free.
Yeah,
no, I'm including.
How,
no, that,
that's
you
not
get
how
wage,
we determine how
you get
much
wage
you make
and
paid.
Benefits.
That's right.
But when
and
they
so
negotiate, Tom, they negotiate benefits, don't they?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay,
so that's
John,
included.
That's just,
hold on. Okay. That's included. That is included in the number, and the number is okay. The number, and you can't say, well, that doesn't count because nobody pays for that.
Well, no.
My main
it's
thing
not
is
because
this.
Nobody pays for it. It's because that's not when you ask your salary, if you make $60,000.
Yeah.
People think, okay, you make 60 grand. They think of that as wage. If you say, well, actually, no, it's more like 88 because I have, you know, health benefits or this or that or
okay.
Vacation benefits. That's not really fair.
So the average worker in Tacoma makes $34 an hour. That includes benefits. The average teacher in Tacoma makes 63. That includes benefits. Is that a problem? That somebody who's making $34 and plus benefits is paying $63 to somebody who's a teacher?
Yeah, but what does the average middle class person make? I mean, teachers are basically making middle class salaries. And the idea here is that when you inflate those numbers with benefits, it just misrepresents how most of us talk about it. That's all. I'm just sort of letting people know that those are inflated numbers by the way most people, the man in the street, talks about things.
Okay, so would you like, I'll break down
the anti-teacher.
No, I'm not anti-teacher.
Then you cite those kinds of numbers.
No, you're not anti-teacher. You just would like to be able to show what the numbers are. So if the teacher's getting a 20% increase or a 21% increase, somebody has to pay. The big thing that costs them the most amount of money is the pensions. The pensions that are so luxurious for these teachers. My thing is this. Hey, guess what, Tacoma? If you want the people's input, you should have made the thing transparent. Let the people sit in there and watch the negotiations between both sides. Absolutely. Tom, they do it in other school districts across the United States. The public comes and sits and watches the negotiations. And then it's transparent. Don't call them in after the fact. Oh, by the way, show us different ideas on how we can cut the budget. Just like in Pullman, a school district in Pullman has opened it up 4 years ago to make it transparent. The people sit in there. I'm sure it's like 50 people that might want to go. And you watch the one side of the table and the other side of the table. And you're part of it because guess who's writing the check? You are. But they don't want you to see that when it comes to negotiating in the state of Washington over here. Because it's
an
important part of it. It's not small, Tom. It's big. Don't ask the public to come in now and give their input. They could have given you input while they watched you negotiate.
It has nothing to do with McCleary.
I'm not talking about McCleary.
You're anti-teachers union, and so you want to make sure that you can
do anything you can. No, I'm pro-taxpayer. I'm pro-taxpayer.
Exactly.
Tom, McCleary's ridiculous. Here's why McCleary's ridiculous. Fully fund. I've asked so many legislators, what does fully fund mean?
And they defined it, finally.
No, they did not.
Yes.
Who did?
No, the courts ended up making their decision.
And what
is
fully fund?
Or not?
What's the number?
I don't know what the number is.
They don't have a number. They don't.
Oh, John, how did they settle the McCleary case? The McCleary case was settled because they said, okay, the legislature said, how about this? Is this enough? Is this enough? They kept going back to the court, and they finally got to a point.
Fully funded.
Yes, where the McCleary. John, you're
the missing
numbers, the
point. Tom,
the McCleary decided.
I understand.
McCleary decision said what that fully funded was because the amount of money you've given here, yes, that is going to match it.
Right.
So whatever that number was, I forget what the number was, but they came up with a number. But you're right. Fully funded is in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to decide what that is. We now have determined that this is what the number is. But some districts don't have enough money if they pay their teachers whatever the teachers were demanding because they had got no increases over the last 5 years.
I know
years.
How the levy cap works, that you can't go above a certain amount, and it's unfair to some place like Squim, and it's fair to some place like Edmonds. You've got more kids in Edmonds than you have in Squim. The cap works out for some, and it doesn't work out for others. I get that. I also understand that I'd like to be able to have teachers leave and go somewhere else. I'd like to see them get paid differently. I'd like to see them not have the union, which eventually, within a couple of years, hopefully they get rid of the union, and then you'd be able to have people opt out and then be able to have more flexibility.
Well, the argument is that they wouldn't get that 21% increase if that's indeed what they got, if it hadn't been for the union, because there's
well, let's
power
see how many people
solidarity.
Get laid off now because of the 21%.
Well,
increase.
In fact, that's and the thing is, if will there be a legislative fix or not? That's what we're looking at.
Who will lay them off? They'll lay off the last teacher hired will be the first one fired. Isn't that the way it normally works with the union?
Normally,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got to determine something, some way.
Certainly not quality,
John. Yeah,
Tom,
like you would know. The problem is we don't know. There's no way to dictate quality.
Oh, you spent time in school. You had some bad teachers?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Oh. So you were able to determine quality.
No, I was as one student. The great thing is, here's a great lesson for me. The greatest teacher I ever had in my life was a professor at Seattle University. His name was Bill Taylor, William Taylor.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, I just thought I took like 3 or 4 classes from him. I thought he was the most brilliant. And I talked to somebody else who was another really smart student, and she really didn't like, you know, Taylor. And she's like, I said, that's fascinating to me. I think he's the greatest ever. And just, yeah, I just didn't, you know, people have different teachers are good for different students.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that kind of standard doesn't really work. So, well, everyone knows who the good teachers are. Well, the problem is it's much more complex than that because some of the teachers work better with kids that need more hands-on. Some are better with more performance approaches.
Right.
I mean, teaching is one of those. We did this story a couple of days ago. It's one of those really difficult ways to gauge.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Let's see. We're going to get to the fact electric bikes are taking over. That's good news for everybody.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's not discouraging. With a city of this many hills, I think it's probably good to have electric.
If you have a choice between having the electric bike and the other bike, you go with the electric. Because the thing is, you don't know how heavy and clunky the other one was.
Uphill.
Unless you've ridden it.
Yeah.
All uphill. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to the fact that in New York City now, you can no longer discriminate based on hair. Is it the style of hair, the color of hair? You have a right to have your hair however you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently.
How about the woman that I read about, the lady that sued UPS because they didn't like the color of her hair? And she lost.
And she lost, but that's because she's not in New York City. I think she might have won in New York City.
We'll find out. We'll come right back. Laura's Home Loans, 833-ASK-LAURA. She's the one to go to if you have a mortgage question or a concern. Or you just want to sit down and have a nice chicken salad sandwich with Laura Keel. You can do that. She sets those up. You go in there and you just talk to her about a reverse mortgage or anything else. It's not a heavy-duty sales, but it is a darn good chicken salad sandwich. 833-ASK-LAURA. 833-ASK-LAURA. She's the only person I know, Tom, that advertises the fact that she'll have a chicken salad sandwich with you.
I love chicken salad.
Who doesn't like chicken salad? Round the horn. Andrew, chicken salad?
No.
Well, we found him.
Did you not feel the momentum for chicken salad when I threw it to you? Couldn't you just made something up?
No.
Okay. Here we go. New York City is going to ban discrimination based on hair in New York City.
Yes. I mean, they only have, it's the commission only has control over New York City, but it's fascinating to me. I didn't even realize that this was an issue. Obviously, I'm just not aware of African-American problems, and the hair issue has been seen as a way of discriminating against primarily black people because they have this, they have different kinds of hairstyles that come naturally to their hair, including they say their natural hair, but also locks, cornrows, twists, braids, bantu knots, fades, afros, and the right to keep hair in an uncut or untrimmed state. That's no longer going to be grounds for firing or any kind of school place discrimination, that you are now allowed to do that because they see it as an expression of who you are, your race. This all came up because of a particular movie. This wasn't invented out of whole cloth. There were complaints from workers at two Bronx businesses, a medical facility and a nonprofit, and workers at a hair salon and a restaurant who were told that they could not work there with that hairstyle. Now, that doesn't mean that the health and safety regulations go away. You still have to wear a hairnet or anything like that that's deemed a health and safety reason. But just in terms of the look, you can't discriminate against that.
So United Postal Service, UPS, was sued by this woman by the name of Ewing. I don't remember the year it was. And what they said was, your hair is distracting. Her hair was pink or purple or something like that. She's a black woman. And she sues. Three times they went to her and said, hey, you got to get rid of those braids. You can't do this. She signs this letter saying, okay, I understand. And then a couple months later, she changes her hair again. They bring her in again. If you do it again, we're going to fire you. So they followed through on all the processes. Mm-hmm. And she ended up losing in court because what she wasn't able to prove is that they chose her specifically. Because then United Parcel Service or UPS said, well, look at all these white people that had crazy colored hair.
Yeah.
We fired them as well. And what they said was, the color of the hair, the hair needs to be kept in a professional, business-like manner. They said colored hair is too distracting. You are carrying a heavy package, you look to the right, and then you see someone with pink hair, and you drop the package and lands on your foot. So they just sort of set this thing up. They want everybody to be somewhat uniform. So in that case, if you can prove that the reason your hair needs to be a certain length because you are unable to perform your job properly, if your hair is too long, if you have dreads and you're working around big, heavy equipment that could possibly pull the dregs into the machinery, well, then you can't have it.
Well, yeah,
right?
And that would be a health and safety issue. That's something set aside. Now, this doesn't specifically mention hair color, so I don't know if that would apply in this case. But in terms of federal, there's no federal precedent for this. This is the first law in the land anywhere in this country that actually protects hair. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, they say there was a woman, a black woman, who sued or, you know, had lost a job offer from an Alabama insurance company because they told her she had to cut off her dreadlocks, and she refused to do that. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, you know, refused to review the case.
Uh-huh.
So right now, the legal precedent in this country is to allow the employer to decide the proper look.
Yeah.
It's just in New York City, and my guess is this will be the beginning of a movement across the country, especially in urban areas where you have a lot of African Americans saying, listen, this is a kind of a race discrimination if you're telling me I can't have a cornrow. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is we're not talking about things that are applicable across the board. The idea, my guess is, they said, yeah, if it applies to everybody, it'd be okay. But if you tell a white person, hey, you can't have a cornrow, but allow a black person to, mm-hmm. you probably can't get away with it.
I wouldn't get away with that one.
But I do think that if you can't now in New York City tell an African American he can't have a cornrow because mm-hmm. that's seen as part of his, you know, his cultural heritage or something.
Right. People sued for religious reasons, saying, "Hey, it's part of my religion to have my hair like this. You can't fire me because I'm practicing my religion."
Yeah.
The employer does ask you to dress a certain way, and the employer does ask you to trim your hair and not have a mustache or a beard in order to be able to. The problem is that it's sometimes nebulous and it's not equally applied.
Yeah.
So the city of New York steps in and does this.
But remember there was a case over I think it was this past summer. Or no, it must have been in the fall because there was that wrestler, that black wrestler,
yeah, that
high school wrestler was told to cut off his dreadlocks right there on the mat. That was pretty outrageous what was happening. But they also say this is just a comfort level that people in America will eventually come to. It's like Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams is now a national figure running for governor, and she's
the one that lost.
Yeah, in a very close race. And she was also the one who responded to President Trump's State of the Union address. But she has very kind of distinctive, what you might say, is black hair.
Okay.
And that kind of style is getting more and more accepted once it's more visible. And so people that might, you know, employers might think, oh, that's too much, might relax.
There's a story about a woman who has high level of testosterone and she races and they want to draw her blood and determine why you have it. I think it's something stacious. What's the name of the... it's an actual condition where the woman produces more testosterone than she normally produces.
It's called hypoandrogenism.
Yes.
Hyperandrogenism.
I hope to get that. And this gal.
You're well on your way, John.
This gal who's a sprinter has it.
Yes.
And she has high levels of testosterone. And
the way she was born, by the way. This is kind of.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay.
She's got this condition, which she produces more free testosterone. And the thing is, it's going to go to court because they want to be able to draw the blood, say, here's the baseline for how much testosterone you can have and be a woman. They would make her take estrogen or a testosterone blocker in order to reduce her testosterone to get her levels back down.
Yeah, see, that I have a real problem with. When you're actually telling somebody that they need to take something to inhibit something that their body naturally produces in order to compete, I just think that's... I think there are very few hypoandrogynous that I'm aware of. I think that if they happen to be athletes, you've got to kind of go with it,
right?
And accept it because it's not any kind of
she didn't do it.
That's right. I mean, this
mutable. This, you can't change it. Here's the interesting thing: when it comes to sprinting, you have two types of muscles. Most people do. You have normally 60-40 split: 60% slow twitch, 40% fast twitch. People that are just these biological anomalies that can sprint and do a 100-yard dash in 8 or 9 seconds, they have almost 80% fast twitch and 20% slow. And if you're a marathoner, often they'll have a 70-30 split. Well, that's biological.
Yeah.
I will never be able to beat somebody with a 70% slow twitch because I'm probably a 50-60, 60-40 split. So I'm average speed because my muscles are average. But you get the anomalies on the outside. That's the case. So she got a lucky draw. Yeah. She should be able to race.
Wow. Yep. That's awfully all-inclusive and generous of you, Jim.
Well, thank you, Tom.
I'm a little surprised, I have to say. Well, the other interesting thing is they say that there are male athletes have differing levels of testosterone.
Yes, they
They're
do.
Never, like, tested. It's like the idea. It's just that there is this kind of mix, and they say that whichever. So when she won the 800 meters race or whatever, as soon as she won, the head of the organization said, I'm going to try to overturn this.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now they say there's this big court case, and if the court decides that she shouldn't qualify because her testosterone levels are too high, that's going to have a rippling effect, mm-hmm. Across.
But don't get me started on a person who says they're a woman and races against other women. Like Martina Navratilova came out today and talked about it.
Yeah.
I'm completely against that. You can't do that. That's cheating. If you're a guy, if you're running against a bunch of women and you've got a penis, you're cheating.
Okay, well, the thing is that what if you don't have the penis?
What do you have?
What if you get rid of the penis?
But
see, that's a transitional thing. This is the
I understand. Yeah, the difference is she got dealt a good hand when it came to that.
So what was Martina Navratilova's point? Was
she said you're cheating. Men should not be able to claim to be women and then compete against women. The U.S.
But they're not men.
What are they?
Well, I mean, if they're transgendered, it's what
they
are.
No, they just claim to be female. They say, I feel more female than male, so therefore I'm going to get in this 100-yard dash and beat all these other women.
Okay, well, first off, I don't think that happens. I mean,
yes,
if you're transgender, you end up going through all these processes.
Okay.
So the question, though, I have is Martina Navratilova addressing herself to this Semenya's
situation? She's talking
about something else.
She came out a year ago about... I think she was referring to a high school race in which the two guys got in the race. It was the state final. Finals and wiped up and beat everybody. She was responding to that.
Okay,
she's back out on the campaign trail.
Okay, so let's not muddy the waters.
No,
in this, because you think it's natural.
That's fine.
Transgender, because they're switching, you think that's more problematic.
Right. Okay, that's right. We'll be right back. Online Trading Academy text line 98973 98973. Do you love to hear from you? The email is up and running. MyNorthwest.com's going.
Yep.
Okay, great letters yesterday. Always good, always funny. But you guys were in good spirits as we celebrated President's Day. Did you do anything patriotic or you just worked? Right?
Yeah, I worked with you.
That's
very patriotic.
Very patriotic of you. Never was a huge fan of Karl Lagerfeld until this morning when I heard he died.
I know, I was going to say, wow, I didn't realize you had a blue light in your heart for Karl.
I always thought he was an interesting looking dude, right?
Yeah.
And my dad wore his cologne, so I thought that was
going to
have this connection. If you don't know who he is, you can look him up after we finish talking about him. But he had a gray ponytail. Mm-hmm. He always wore glasses. He always wore gloves. He wore sort of a high sort of Elizabethan collar, kind of a weird thing. He was a designer. And he passes away at the age of 85. He dies. And he used to say outrageous things. Mm-hmm. He said Adele was too fat. And he would just criticize people. When they'd come back to him, he said, why do you say she's not fat. She's too big. but she has a beautiful voice. They would kind of every once in a while ask him to clarify, but he never seemed to need to apologize for anything he said.
Yeah, one of the great things about when you're in your kind of an artistic field, when you're a fashion designer, you can get away with just about anything because it's a, you're a bigger than life personality.
Yes.
And so he said some pretty outrageous things at times. He, you know, he was just who he was, and it kept him in the news so that he always hid his age. He died at 85, and now we know.
I like this. One of the things he said on being a legend. A sense of humor and a lack of respect. That's what you need to make a legend survive. So some of his other great cuts. This is what he sounds like, by the way.
I prefer the magazine from the Frankfurter once a month. You know, they did 8 times a month in the first year, not because of my cartoons, huh? My caricature. Now, from next year...
Okay, we're going to ask Andrew to do an imitation of Lagerfeld, if best he can. And in this particular case, he's
That's
going
not
to...
a British accent.
I know, I know. That's his thing. He kind of just does British accents. But what we'll do is we'll go downstairs. We'll ask him to do whatever he can do to sound as much like Lagerfeld as possible, and we'll take care of these famous quotes.
Perfect.
Yes.
I've got a favor to ask.
I'm ready.
Karl Lagerfeld passed away. I hate to be the one to break the news to you.
Okay.
Here's what he sounds like.
They're doing so well, they do every month.
What's in the DNA, do you think?
Not that guy. Okay, that's all you need is just a little bit in order to imitate, because you're like a man of 1,000 voices.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely done that.
All right, so you ready? Let's start with on intellectuals.
I hate intellectual conversation with intellectuals because I only care about my opinion.
There we go.
Sounds like you, John.
On selfies.
Electronic masturbation.
Wow.
I didn't say it. Andrew said it. On vanity.
Vanity is the healthiest thing in life.
Boy, I think he is your doppelganger, John.
This sounds like you. On learning languages.
Anyone who is not at least trilingual is a hick.
Lagerfeld said this about children.
Having adult children makes you look 100 years old. I don't want that.
And on the aesthetically challenged.
I hate ugly people. They're very depressing.
There we go. And that is Karl Lagerfeld.
Karl Lagerfeld and John Curley will be forever matched in
my
mind.
Thank you, Andrew.
Now.
You're welcome. I tried.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, now there's a role for you in the fashion design business, John.
I don't agree with all that. I do like the thing about it. I don't like intellectuals because I only care. But I've learned to not give my own opinion because I know it.
Yes.
I do want to hear other people.
Exactly. That's
so I can make fun of it later.
It's all about vanity.